When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Does your morning toast taste more like cardboard than bread? Then you haven't tried America's number one organic bread, Dave's Killer Bread. Visit daveskillerbread.com to learn more and look for them in the bread aisle of your local grocery store. Dave's Killer Bread, bread amplified.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Brandon Ayuk saga took another turn an hour ago. We'll discuss that and more next on the Cone Zone. How's it going? Welcome to the Cone Zone. That's the original Cone, Lowell Cone. I'm the newer Cone, Grant Cone. We are here to talk about 49ers, Brandon Ayuk. Dad, we haven't really done a show in the last week, and a lot has happened since then. The last time we talked, it was looking like they're going to get an extension done because they were hugging each other, Brandon and Kyle and John. There was a hug. People read into it. Then it was like, no, actually, he's probably going to get traded. And yesterday, it was like, he's definitely not getting traded to the Steelers. And then an hour ago, Schefter said, wow, the Steelers are back in the mix. How do you, as someone who's been a journalist for a very long time, how do you interpret this coverage?
I have to say, as a former journalist, the coverage of where Ayuk is going to end up is very mushy. I mean, M-U-S-H-Y. It's not like he's going to end up report when you know where he's going to go. Now, the report is he could go to one of three places. Patriots, Cleveland, or what's the other one? Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Okay. When you have it narrowed down to one team, send out the bat signal over Gotham City. But until then, this is just a lot of wasted noise. So it's noise.
I think what's funny about it is like there's two or three people who are supposed to break all the news in the NFL. And it's Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport, maybe one other person. They break all the big stories. But on this particular scoop, there's been a guy named Ricky. He may not be a guy. His picture on Twitter is just a picture of a dog with a New York Giants hat on. And he's been a week ahead of all the big journalists. And yesterday he said Ayuk's going to Pittsburgh. And a lot of journalists said, no, it's not going to happen. No. He's going to get traded, most likely. But not Pittsburgh. They're out. It's going to be Cleveland or New England. And then today they were like, yeah, okay, Pittsburgh's back in. It's fun to watch those people who probably get spoon-fed scoops just twisting the wind.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
What I have to say is Ricky don't lose that number.
I'm rooting for Ricky.
Iggy, when they have a team, let me know. But let's get to more serious things. You think he's gone?
I think he's gone. It seems to me that I asked Kyle today. I said, you know, from a head coach's perspective, would it be detrimental to the team to keep Brandon Ayuk if he's unhappy and doesn't have an extension? And he just goes, well, yeah, there's pluses and minuses with everything. So there is a definite downside to having that guy be a malcontent on the field, in the locker room all the time, and have that whole drama hang over the team. Doesn't seem like they want it. They tried to have it. It seems unnecessary. They have wide receivers, and I think at this point they just want to be done with him.
Yeah, and also Kyle did confirm that they're allowing him to talk to other teams.
He did confirm that.
Okay, so it would seem pretty clear, unless there's some kind of Hail Mary, as it were, from the Aiyuk side, that he's going to be traded. Mm-hmm. Okay, my next question is, if they trade him, are the Niners better or worse?
Worse.
Why?
Because the Niners aren't dealing from a position of strength right now. The situation they're in is they gave an offer to Ike that he didn't want, and he seems to know that Pittsburgh will give him an offer he does want, and that he can veto every other team that tries to deal with him. It's like a basketball player. You know, it's like LeBron James would do. I'm taking my talents to that team, and there's nothing you can do. And the Niners are trying to save face right now. It's like, well, what about Cleveland? We can get a better offer from Cleveland. What about New England? We can get a better offer from New England. Ike's like, not going.
Iggy, here's my question. Why can he veto those other teams?
Great question. Because he has 1 year left on his deal, and no team is going to trade for Aiyuk unless they know that he's going to sign an extension with them. Really, the extension would be announced at the same time as the trade. So that's his veto power. I'm not signing an extension with you. You can have me for 1 year just like the Niners, but then I'm going to be a free agent. That's his power.
Very interesting. I would also point something. Well, you keep going. I have other things down the line. You keep going.
I just think it's interesting how the NFL is turning into the NBA. The NFL used to be very much a front office management league, and players didn't have much leverage. But now wide receivers, the big divas, are in the $30 million a year range, and all of a sudden they're like basketball players. They're going to pick where they want to go, and they're going to use their leverage. And you got to decide if you want to be in business with players like that. And really, I want, if this trade happens, I want to see how the Niners benefited from waiting 4 months. They could have done that. They could have traded Aiyuk to the Steelers in April. This was a topic at the owners' meetings in Orlando when I was there. So they waited, and I'd love to know how they benefited from that if this goes through.
I see. They might have been able to get more at the top end.
Or maybe they didn't benefit, and maybe they just waited and waited and waited, and the Steelers didn't up their offer, and the Niners finally got uncomfortable with the whole thing.
What they don't need is what's happening now. You know, it's interesting. It seems with this group, there's always drama as you get toward, you know, the exhibition games. There's always drama. And it's a good team. They'll get past it. But you don't need it. It's a distraction. It's a pain in the neck. And now they've got it here. But it's interesting, Iggy. They don't have it with Trent Williams.
What do you mean?
No one's... Well, there's a lot of anger, talking on the media and in the organization about Aiyuk. Very quiet about Trent Williams.
Yeah.
Very quiet.
Seems kind of like Aiyuk has hijacked the news cycle.
And it seems like the left tackle is a more mature person and keeps his business private.
Yep.
He hasn't dragged the franchise through the mud, and this other kid has. As a result, whenever Trent Williams comes back, and I assume he will come back, it'll be flawless. There won't be any problem. Everyone will welcome him back, and that's it. This kid may not be welcome anymore in that locker room. Tell him what CMC said about him.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey was on, he's hurt. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He was on the NFL Network today getting interviewed, and they asked him, like, well, what do you make of this Aiyuk situation? He goes, you know, I really don't make much of it. It's not my deal. I'm a running back. It's not my deal. You know, anytime you're dealing with a former teammate, and he goes, teammate. So Freudian slip, call Brandon Aiyuk a former teammate. Maybe he knows more than we do.
Well, it's more than that, Iggy. It's not respectful.
That's true.
I mean, he's a Stanford guy. He's not stupid. Yeah. It's not respectful. They wouldn't say that about Trent Williams. Mm-mm. You would say, anytime you're dealing with that, it's really hard, but it's a business. We understand it. Brandon is a close friend of mine. He's a hard worker, and he's a great player, and we hope it works out for him and for the team. He didn't say that. He dismissed him.
Yeah.
He dismissed him, Iggy. In fact, he kicked him in the butt. He kicked him in the butt. He made fun of him. Yeah. And my feeling is, again, I've never met McCaffrey. I don't know what kind of guy he is. But I think what he was saying is, I had enough of him. And I think he's also saying, the team has had enough of him. We had enough. We'll do well without him. Did I just lose my son? Wow. Are you people still there? This is the bedroom that Iggy grew up in. There's little stuff on the walls. What happened?
Sorry, I'm having technical I'm really sorry. Having technical difficulties. Hold on.
I was telling everybody that I'm in the room you grew up in.
Can you even hear me? Can you even hear me? No.
I can. Yes.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Just a second. Let me try not to have a panic attack.
Don't have a panic attack. I don't want him to have a panic attack. And then over my... Okay.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Am I here?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Woo! Yeah, I can hear you. 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 Oh, that was exciting.
Test. Testing your speakers on StreamYard. Sounds like they're working.
Okay, we're back.
Iggy, why don't you tell people where you are? Why don't you tell people where you are?
Okay, I'm at Levi's Stadium. I'm in one of the lounges. It's right next to the 50-yard line. So if you go the 50-yard line, right, I'm here. So sorry about that. But we're still doing a show.
And I'm in my house in the room that Iggy grew up in.
I grew up in that room.
Stairs. He grew up in that room.
A lot of milestones for me in that room. Okay. Okay. So yeah, you're right. Christian McCaffrey kicked him out, and it was like we were watching Brandon do his thing all offseason, and every time it was like, "Are you putting down your teammates?" He went on that podcast and he called himself the best true wide receiver on the team. It's like, well, Debo's your teammate. And he said he was tired of taking a back seat to everyone else. It's like, well, those are your teammates. They're going to watch the interview. Don't you think that they're like not going to like what you have to say? So, yeah.
Yeah. I think what he was expressing was the point of view of the team. We had enough of this diva egomaniac. Get rid of him. And let's get on with the season. That's what I think he was saying.
I completely agree. Now, we're talking about drama. So it's nice that Christian tries to focus the team. But again, that's more drama, man. You call a guy who's still on your roster, your former teammate. Ayuk's, first of all, he's embracing the coach. Then a week later, there's three teams trying to trade for him. There's a hold in. There's a hold out. There's injuries. I think the Niners are going to win the award for most training camp drama, which isn't the award you want to win.
Well, yeah. Tell him who else is hurt.
Christian McCaffrey's hurt. Ricky Pearsall's hurt. We're going to talk about Christian in a second at length, moving pretty quick. But at some point, I'm not writing the Niners off because of the way the offseason has gone so far. It's August 6th. But like at some point, the focus has to be on football, and it's not right now.
It will, though. Iggy, it will. I'm telling you. These guys are drama queens. And they're used to it, and they'll get on with the season. But I want to come back to a question I asked you a few minutes ago. Are they better or worse without Ayuk? And you said worse. Tell me why. Is it that they have no wide receiver who can do what he does?
Yeah, I mean, whoever they're going to get to replace Brandon Ayuk isn't going to be as good as Brandon Ayuk. They're trading him kind of as a desperation move right before the season starts. They might be able to, they theoretically could get Amari Cooper from the Browns, but Ayuk doesn't want to go to the Browns. Or they could get Kendrick Bourne from the Patriots. That's a downgrade. Ayuk doesn't want to go to the Patriots. So it's like, whatever, keep him and he's not happy, or whatever they can get from the Steelers. And it seems like the Steelers know that they're the only team in the race, that they're not going to bid against themselves, and they're not making a very good offer. So it seems kind of like the Niners are trading from a position of weakness and trying to get whatever they can to save some face. But if this deal does go through, I think Niner fans are going to be very upset.
Okay, what about on their current roster? Do they have someone who can replace Ayuk?
No, that's why they want Ayuk. They need a wide receiver. You talking about the Niners?
Yeah.
Oh, they have Ricky Pearsall, who's hurt again. They have Chris Conley, who's 32 and isn't a starter anymore. He's been on and off their practice squad. They have Ronnie Bell, who was okay last year. No, they don't have anyone as good as Brandon Ayuk. And if they really wanted to find someone who could potentially replace him, this is a move you make before the draft. Now you're trying to trade him for a veteran? I don't know.
What about Juwan Jennings?
Juwan Jennings is very good, but they already had Juwan Jennings. It's not. I don't know that it's better to have Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk than just Juwan Jennings. But if Ayuk goes, I would like to see the Niners make Jennings a starter. It seems like he's having a hell of a camp and has really improved.
So let me ask it a better way, because you're smarter than I am. Is Jennings comparable to Ayuk?
They're different, but they're both good. Like, Ayuk has the ability to go deep. He's not the fastest guy, but he wins a lot of his routes 15, 20, 20 25, 30 yards down the field. That's not Jennings. He's almost like a tight end in terms of his speed, but he's just as good of a route runner as Ayuk. He's bigger than Ayuk. He's a better blocker than Ayuk. He's probably tougher than Ayuk. He's just slower, but I think he could be a perfect fit with Brock Purdy. It's not like Brock Purdy throws deep a lot.
Right. So here's what I'm saying. Let's assume Ayuk is gone to one of three destinations or 50 others. We don't know. But you start Debo and you start Jennings as your two wideouts. That's pretty good. And I don't think you've lost a lot. Who would the third one be? This Ricky guy?
Maybe Ricky don't lose that number, or maybe Ronnie Bell or Chris Conley.
Yeah.
Or that's fine. And then you also have George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk. You have more than enough weapons. That's why, like, if the Niners do trade Brandon Ayuk, I don't think they have to approach it like we need a wide receiver in return. No, right. You don't. Even if you did trade for Kendrick Bourne, is he better than Juwan Jennings right now? I don't think so.
Right. That's why I'm saying I saw part of Kyle's news conference today. He didn't seem nervous.
No,
he's a coach. I think he's thinking, this guy's out. I got other guys. I don't even need a guy from Pittsburgh or the other 7,000 teams that he might go to. I got guys right here. That's how I think a coach imagines it.
I agree. And I feel like with Kyle, the player that would make him nervous about if he had to lose one wide receiver is Debo. Because Debo is so unique. There's no other wide receiver in the world like him, and replacing him would take multiple players. And I think Kyle builds a lot of his offense around that unique skill set. From Kyle's perspective, yeah, Ayuk's really good, but there's dozens of wide receivers who can do the things that he does on this
That's
team,
what
including
I think.
Kendrick Bourne.
Let me ask you this, and this we don't have an answer to. This is pure speculation. Do you think Kyle wants to coach Ayuk this season?
Oh, at this point, I mean, in an ideal world where money didn't matter and this wasn't happening, sure, he's a good player. But after all that's taken place, I don't think so.
That's how I feel. My feeling is he's probably already washed his hands of him.
I agree.
It
seems like maybe 4 months ago, the Niners were like, you know what? We can force Ayuk to do what we want. We can force him to play on the fifth-year option. We have the leverage. He'll fall in line. I think 4 months later, they're like, we're tired of this. He's not going to fall in line. This is a huge headache. Let's just be done. Let's move on. We don't need this.
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I think he feels. In addition, it's how I would feel. Enough already.
Yeah, because we're talking about drama, right? Like, if this lingers on into the season, week one, week two, Ayuk no extension, it's just drama that hangs over the team and takes the focus away from football. Well, how's Ayuk feeling? What are his emotions today? Was he happy with the way he was used? It's like, that's not what a Super Bowl contending team needs. They need the absence of that.
I agree. They need everybody pulling together.
Everybody pulling together. All right, the news of the day.
Pulling up to Mickey D's just for drinks? Oh, yeah, that's me. Nothing extra, just perfection and a straw. Coming in hot for the coldest cups on the block. Because there are drinks, then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Mix things up with any size lemonade or sweet tea for $1.49. Perfect with our classic fries. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Christian McCaffrey out with a calf strain. Very casual, the way Kyle said it. Yeah, you know, calf strain. Don't expect to see him in any preseason games or the rest of camp. But, hey, he's got time. What do you think?
Well, Again, Kyle doesn't reveal much, and we'll get to that later. It's not good news,
no.
Right? It's not no. good news. It's not like you could say, oh, he's got a calf strain, but we're all pleased and happy. What also bothers me, how did he get a calf strain?
Yep.
Are they tackling in practice?
No. Absolutely not.
I mean, he's a trained professional athlete.
Yep. Just running around.
It makes me wonder, are, you know, they were pretty much injury free. Sorry, guys. Last season. Is this a foretaste of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen? Is he going to get hurt? Elijah Mitchell is hurt again, as usual. They had to bring in Breida, who's kind of old. I mean, I love him as a player, but he's kind of old. So they were a little desperate there. And I just wonder, what does it mean about what kind of season McCaffrey's going to have? How did he strain his calf? Didn't he warm up enough? What happened?
Yeah, and it's like, this. The question is like, you're a 28-year-old running back who's gotten a ton of work in the NFL. At what point is your body going to break down? Because everyone's body breaks down eventually. And a 28-year-old running back is almost like a 30-year-old player at any other position. Right. And what's scary about a calf injury is you can't really trust a team to tell you the truth, especially on like a really good player. So all I know is I was covering the Warriors in 2019 and Durant strained his calf and they called it a calf strain. Calf's connected to the Achilles. And they want to downplay it. It's okay. It's just a calf. It's not an Achilles strain. And then he went out and played, and he tore his Achilles. Aaron Rodgers last year, calf strain, off season, battling through it. Doesn't sound too bad. Week one, Achilles blown out. So they really got to be very careful with Christian.
Right. The connection between calf strain and Achilles is worrisome, but let's be clear. We're not faulting the training staff. Not at all.
No.
We're just saying there seems to be a pattern. That's all.
Absolutely, it seems to be a pattern. Been a lot of hamstring injuries this offseason. Now a calf strain, and it's to their best player. And if he pops his Achilles, the Niners are in huge trouble. So if he misses week one, he misses week one. But all the drama, no Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey in question. That week one game against the Jets is looking like a game that could go either way.
Do you think McCaffrey will play against the Jets?
Probably, but
yeah,
I don't know. Do you think Trent Williams will play against the Jets?
You know, Iggy, I don't know what the heck's going on there.
Haven't got the slightest idea.
I don't know what's going on there. Is he maybe saying he wants to retire?
Maybe. Do you think the Niners feel that is part of the reason they're trying to wrap up this Ayuk stuff? Do they feel like they need to do that before they get to Trent?
I think they can probably do two things at once. I think they probably can. But I'll tell you, privately, they're a lot more worried about Trent than they are about Ayuk.
Would think so.
Iggy, if they don't have Trent, I'm saying they will have Trent. But if they don't have Trent, they're sunk. They're sunk.
Yeah. They could survive the absence of McCaffrey more than they could survive the absence of Trent.
That's interesting. I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
And they sure could survive the absence of Ayuk before the absence of Trent.
Yeah. So I wonder what Trent's doing right now. Charlie Sinclair says, RIP Billy Bean. What is he stepping down? Charlie Sinclair says, Ayuk a Jim Harbaugh guy. I don't know. Jesse Thompson says, give one game where I took over by Felicia. And he didn't really. Joshua Wyatt says, the church of Shanahan does not tolerate apostates. The moment Ayuk implied that Kyle forgot who got him to the Super Bowl, his choice was made.
Okay.
Yeah. Ayuk was pretty critical of Kyle after that one. All right, let's talk Kyle Shanahan and give him some credit. This is about Jordan Mason. For 2 years, I've been talking about Jordan Mason, that he should play more. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. How do you not find a role for him in your offense? And I would ask Kyle, like, what is the deal? Why won't you play Jordan? And he would just say, he's my number three running back. That's end of story. And it always bugged me that he wouldn't actually give me a real answer. And then Jordan Mason spoke finally. They finally let him talk at the podium, which means he's on the verge of making it. He's gotten their blessing. And he just revealed, like, you know, I was a terrible student. I didn't know any of the answers in the meeting. I was not prepared. I wasn't a pro. I had to grow up. So we asked Bobby, and he was like, oh, so.
Bobby Turner.
Bobby Turner, the running back coach. He's like, oh, so Jordan told you. What do you think of the Niners keeping that a secret?
Wonderful. So let's go around. The kid finally felt confident enough to say he had been a crummy student. And I think what that means is he didn't learn his blocking assignments.
Yeah.
Because we know he could run. And he thought that was enough. You know, Lawrence Phillips missed a block and ended Steve Young's career. You got to be serious. But Bobby Turner wouldn't answer the question until he was clear that the kid had told the media. Then when he knew that it was out in the open, he revealed that he didn't like his study habits and that he had stood in his way because Bobby has the highest standards. Iggy, this coach is phenomenal. He is phenomenal, Bobby Turner. Yeah. And he told Kyle, he is not my favorite. No. I want other guys to play ahead of him. And Kyle, because Kyle really has good assistant coaches and coordinators, Kyle is very good at that. He trusted Bobby. And even though the guy was gaining a lot of yards, if Bobby says no, the answer is no. So I give Shanahan credit for that, for believing it and backing his coach. And I also give him credit for not selling the kid out and saying, well, he's a crummy student and he doesn't know his blocking assignments. All he said was he's the number three running back. So he protected his player and his coach. And what I would say, that's an old style football code. It's omerta. It's silence. You don't get anywhere by embarrassing your player or your coach. And you know what? I admire what Kyle did. I often criticize him. His behavior in this, I think, was perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Kyle almost looked like stubborn or foolish. Like, how can you not play such a good player? Well, I have a legitimate reason, and I'm not going to embarrass him or hurt his development or stock around the league. It's my secret. And all you need to know is that when he's ready, I'll put him on the freaking field. And I love it. Football is such a violent sport. Yeah, you're a good running back, but if you miss one blocking assignment, you could get Brock Purdy hurt. We can't let that happen. So let us know when you know the answers, and we'll play you.
Right, and also Kyle was willing to look stubborn and bad by withholding the information, and he still withheld it. So
that's leadership.
I don't know him, but that is leadership and character.
It is.
And the code, and I admire the code.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been easy to be like, look, I know I look stupid, but the guy, I mean, he's not doing this. He's not a pro yet. But that would just be covering your own butt. It wouldn't help the player or your team.
Right. It would be very weak. And what he did, because we finally learned it, was strong. It was strong. I like it.
Yeah, and I feel like that's how you win over a player. Like, he's a tough coach. He's demanding. So is Bobby. But that's private. It's not like I'm going to embarrass you in a press conference if you don't do well in the meeting.
Right. And also, they didn't get rid of him. They worked with him.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to keep going.
Yeah.
They worked with him in a way I wish they had worked with Trey Lance.
Yep. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's true. I mean, they could have said, like, this guy's just not serious. He's not my kind of a player. Let's trade him. Like, no, he'll get it. He just needs to grow up. He's 22.
And we believe in him.
Yeah. And that's got to be the mark of a great coach and a great teacher. Like, Bobby comes in. It's like, well, this guy's starting from square one. Give me a couple years. I can work with him. Now, he's got to want it, but it seems like he clearly does. And it was cool. He was talking about how he sits next to Christian McCaffrey every day. That's a good sign of a young man who gets it. Like, he's the best. This is what he does. Okay, I can do that. I'll just do what he does.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, also Bobby Turner, let's talk about him for a moment. He's such a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
They were asking him yesterday about this running back, Garendo, and he wouldn't praise him. No. I watched the interview, Iggy. He didn't put him down. He said he has a great deal of ability, but he wouldn't go beyond that. He didn't praise him. He didn't say, this is a heck of a running back. I really can see him in our offense. But he did about the undrafted guy.
Someone asked about him. He went, oh, you've noticed. Yeah, he looks exactly like we hoped he would look. And then I asked, I was like, were you involved in scouting him? And he just grinned like, yeah, I was involved in scouting him.
He said a lot. He said a lot.
Yeah.
So like, the point is.
Bless your heart. Like, yeah, I'm kind of important around here.
Yeah. And I have very specific opinions about my running backs. And he seems to like the undrafted guy better than Garendo.
Yeah, it seems like he's old school and he can just watch the film and be like, oh, that guy's perfect for my style. It doesn't matter how big he is, how fast he is. He can just do it. Whereas, I don't know, whoever's been picking Garendo and Trey Sermon and Ty Davis Price maybe doesn't have the eye for it. I don't know who. I don't know who it could be.
I wish, you know, I don't want to be a journalist anymore. I don't want to do it. But if I were doing it, I would love to get to know Bobby Turner. Of all the coaches on that staff, he is the one who interests me the most.
By far.
He's
a few years younger than you. He's got like your level of confidence and expertise in his craft. And he also has an interesting story. Like, why did you never get promoted beyond running back coach? I mean, it seems like you're as smart as any coordinator on the team in the league. I mean, he seems like a genius.
I feel that he should have been a coordinator somewhere,
yeah.
But I don't know him. I don't know his story, but when you hear him talk, he's an intellectual. He's a football intellectual. I believe he should have been a coordinator. I don't know what happened.
It's such an interesting story because most coaches bounce around the league a little bit. They go to one team and their stock goes up and they parlay it into a promotion somewhere else. Bobby Turner has been just relentlessly loyal to the Shanahans. He's only worked for Mike and Kyle for the last 30 years, since he's gotten in the NFL. That's very rare. I'd love to know why. We never will.
Yeah. Yeah, and they must be loyal to him, Iggy, and I hope they're paying him a lot.
Absolutely. All I know is in 2022, he stepped away from the team. He may have had some health issues. I don't know if he's going to step away permanently. That's when they signed Jordan Mason as an undrafted free agent. So he didn't sign off on Jordan Mason. And the team was really struggling to run the ball. So by like week six, he was back on the team. I don't know if they begged him or sent him a care package or something, but they got him back. And then they traded for Christian McCaffrey.
That helped.
That helped. Always good to get Christian McCaffrey. King Liner says Mason's time to shine. Or Schrader.
Maybe so.
Charlie Sinclair says Billy Bean died. It was a different Billy Bean. I looked it up. RIP. The Ryan G. Hensley Show says, if I'm not mistaken, he had a calf strain last season as well, which makes it more concerning. Forgot that.
Good point. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. Jad is Jad says, I don't like to call players divas for wanting what they want. And I did not expect all of this from Ayuk, but my God, has he been a drama queen? See ya.
Yeah, you can want what you want. Trent Williams wants what he wants, but he doesn't, you know, make a soap opera out of it.
It's definitely soap opera status. Moises Rosales says, ask Shanahan, Kamala, or Trump for the laugh out louds. No, I kind of like having my credential.
Yeah, and also it's about football. It's not about politics.
That's right. Beto Sosa says, thanks for keeping it real, Grant. No sugar coating. I try. 7MP says, let's see lose a Super Bowl, trade away an elite player, then injuries 2020 and 2024. Might be pointing at each other like the Spider-Man meme. Do you think that the way the offseason has unfolded is an indication of how the season will unfold?
I don't know how the season will unfold. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've had tough preseasons before, Bosa last season, and they got to the Super Bowl. So, no, I know it would be easy to say, boy, it's a lot of turmoil. They suck. They'll never make it to the playoffs. I'm not ready to go there. I think they're a hell of a team. I think they're a hell of a team. Unless they don't get Trent Williams, then Iggy, I can't overstate this.
Yeah.
Their offensive line is not one of the best. And without that guy, it might be one of the worst.
Absolutely. Also, with the Niners, it's like when they're healthy and Trent Williams is there, they just have too much talent to miss the playoffs. But if injuries happen, that's football. It seems like they had good luck with that last year. And so far in training camp, again, we're not blaming the training staff. It just seems like they're not having good luck with injuries right now. It's just 17 hamstring strains and now a very critical calf strain.
Who else is hurt?
Ricky Pearsall's hurt again. He hurt his shoulder today. Isaac Garendo had a hamstring pull. Elijah Mitchell has a hamstring pull. Spencer Burford has a broken hand. Jacob Cowing had one but came back. Pearsall had one but came back. There's been a lot of people in and out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand hamstring pulls. When I was younger, I used to run. And before a race, I would do so much stretching and getting my hamstrings warm. Hot. And I didn't pull hamstrings. Is football different? Do they not warm up? I don't know.
It seems like the really good football players don't pull their hamstrings. Seems like people who don't quite understand how to prepare and train for the sport. Like Juwan Jennings doesn't pull his hamstring. Brandon Ayuk doesn't pull his hamstring. Nick Bosa doesn't pull his hamstring. It seems like something you do if you're not the best.
I just don't get it. Honestly, I don't.
Well, I also think that track, I ran track for one season. There's a lot more warming up in track than there is in football.
Yeah.
Like track is like 45 minutes of warming up for a 20-second race.
That's what it is. Yeah. I think maybe they should do more warming up on the sideline or something like that. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Wave 9 says, Grant, you miss mine. I know you're a BLP Kosher fan and a Larry June fan.
Not particularly.
But I like the name BLP Kosher. Anyway, Dad, I think we're out of topics. We don't want to belabor the Ayuk point because we don't know what's going on. And there's injuries.
Fine by me. I'm going to go up and get a cup of tea.
All right, Dad. I love you. This was a good show. Thank you for doing it. Thanks for watching, okay. Everyone. See you guys.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Los veranos en Nueva Jersey están hechos para hacerte decir wow. Desde wow soleados hasta wows de diversión, wows relajantes a wows emocionantes. Así que ven y descubre cuál será tu wow. Nueva Jersey es un wow veraniego tras otro tras otro. Encuentra tu wow en visitnj.org. Nueva Jersey, pequeño estado, muchísimo wow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.